Sanceles Roman Villa. Sanceles Roman Villa is a little distance away from the city, on the other side of Francoli River, in the municipality of Constanti, 4 kilometres from Tarragona, which you can reach by car. In 1931, it was declared a historical artistic monument and forms part of the archaeological ensemble of Tarocco, recognized as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The building was erected in a site which had already been used for a Roman villa from the 2nd century BC, a country house which has had a long history, given it has been inhabited continuously since its foundation until today, undergoing various reforms. The first was built in the 1st to 2nd centuries AD and the second in the 4th century. Subsequently, the large circular room, the remains of which are completely preserved, was converted into St. Bartholomew's Church in the medieval period, and finally into a country house. From this entire development, we will focus on describing the 4th century remains, since all of the remains which can be visited today also belong to and represent the most magnificent time in its long history. Between 1959 and 1978, members from the German Archaeology Institute carried out work in archaeological research, cleaning and restoration, increasing the value of this magnificent and unique site. The remains, which can be seen today, belong to the Roman villa built in the middle of the 4th century, which consisted of a long building measuring 90 meters in length, with 21 known aligned rooms facing the midday sun. Opposite these was probably an arched porch. It is surprising that there are no agricultural structures for the use of the land, presses and warehouses, etc. As you enter the enclosure, you will come across some constructions which are somewhat precariously preserved, partially protected with a covering. These are 2 thermae, that is, baths, which are room with small swimming pools, with hot and cold water. Then you come to the most spectacular part, a block consisting of 2 rooms on the central story. The first is 4-lobed in shape, and the original covering no longer exists. In the second, there is a dome over the entire surface, with magnificent mosaics, which have made the site famous. When you come in from the outside, your eyes are drawn immediately to the dome and to its detailed decoration. First, draw your attention to the lower strip. If you position yourself in the entrance and look forwards, on the window you will see a scene which has been destroyed over time, where there was a group of characters and now only their heads remain. This is the central point of the entire strip, which depicts a hunt scene almost continuously for some 33 meters in length. In the middle, you will see the only head which is facing forwards. This is a portrait of the Dominus, the Lord or the Owner. From here, 2 successive scenes appear, one on the right and the other on the left, which end on the opposite side, just above the entry door, where a set of buildings are portrayed, recognizable as a Roman villa. To the left of the group of characters, there is a helper with 2 horses, followed by some young boys carrying nets and sticks. 2 horsemen who are chasing some deer towards a net which has been spread, and the transfer of the prey to the villa. To the right of the main group, you will again come across a helper with a dog, some young boys transporting sticks and nets on loaded animals, an encounter with a wild boar, and the return home. The upper strip portrays 16 compartments separated by Solomon's columns, which contain Christian scenes extracted from the Old and New Testaments. To begin the description, you need to again position yourself at the entrance of the room, facing the main group of characters led by the Dominus, just above the window. The Good Shepherd is depicted in the main picture and clearly alludes to Christ. To the right of the Good Shepherd is Noah's Ark, followed by a more extensive scene of this record, which shows 2 characters richly adorned to the left, a bust made of gold tesseras, and to the right 3 characters. This may relate to the biblical passage referring to 3 young Hebrews refusing to worship the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. or the audience with Herod and the three magi from the east. The following scene, which has almost completely disappeared, shows the resurrection of Lazarus, and the final recognizable scene depicts the three young men in the furnace, the punishment for having refused to worship the pagan idol. Evidently, the scene which may show Nebuchadnezzar and the one of the three young men in the furnace, to some extent recall the martyr of the Taroko bishop and his deacons Agorius and Eulogius, who were also three men condemned to death in the furnace only a century before the mosaic was made. To the left of the main scene with the Good Shepherd, you will come across a boat with the sail down and two sailors. There is then a picture which has been almost completely lost, followed by another where the cross legs of Jonah can be seen relaxing under a vine. Two partially preserved pictures follow, with unidentifiable scenes, followed by a scene where the arms of a figure in prayer and a lion have been preserved. The last picture, which has almost completely faded, portrays Adam and Eve. The upper strip is in very poor condition, with most of the tesseras missing. It is divided into eight pictures. The smaller ones show the four seasons of the year, with four young people carrying a plant or fruit which is characteristic of the time they represent. Along with the seasons of the year, there are four scenes which have been named scenes with thunder, although unfortunately they have been destroyed over time. In each one, there is a character seated on a throne, looking forwards. Now only two heads remain from the dome medallion that it had, as well as the pictures of the thrones and a background of gold tesseras. The rest have disappeared. One of the biggest questions remaining around this site is identifying who it was made for, that is, the Dominus of the Hunt. Opinions divided between various researchers in the 1930s in identifying the monument as a mausoleum or monumental grave. After the restoration work, Helmut Schlunk concluded that it was an emperor's grave, while others claim that it is a grave for a member of the high nobility or a bishop. This debate only accentuates the enormous interest in this highly artistic and technical mosaic, to such an extent that the monument has become one of the most important early Christian ensembles in the entire Roman world.